today to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and we want to read two verses from this portion of the Word of God, verses 31 and 32. And our subject today is well or sick, righteous or sinner, from these verses of Scripture. Looking to begin with at verse 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus had a lot of common sense to use, and He used it. And this is one of those sayings by Him that it is the most clear message that anyone can possibly understand. And I'm sure that the smallest child that stood listening to Him that day could understand clearly what He was saying in that phrase. Now verse 32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Brothers and sisters, the genius of the Lord Jesus Christ in His illustrations about spiritual things is striking, as you that are Bible students know, striking in every place that you turn in your Bible to read something of the deepest wisdom that He said. And this is one of those instances that we read about Him speaking something that has infinite wisdom in it. He had a way of getting down to the meat of a matter by relating spiritual lessons by using just plain everyday realities. And the uniqueness of the parables that the Lord Jesus used in His ministry here on earth had this knack of passing along spiritual object lessons in such a way that they became, you might say, His signature of how teaching was to be done. And I believe preachers that are called of God in all generations like to be able to use the same kind of technique to preach from the Word of God. Because the Lord Jesus taught us that these are effective ways for causing people to understand things that are of a common nature but have deep spiritual lessons in them. Now, it's no wonder that people, in listening to Jesus, were recorded to have said, never man spake like this man. He could tell the whole story about the great work of the kingdom of God on earth, sometimes by referring to something as simple as grain planting, as a farmer sowing seed. And in telling the story, the parable, he could convey a world of information about spiritual truths that are realities for those who come to realize the spiritual truths of God. And he could summarize so many things in such concise ways that we're always struck with it. I mean, if he were talking about the impact that children of God had upon the earth and would have in all generations, he could convey the message by talking about how salt your food and get the message across about how the children of God influence the world like salt influences the taste of food that we eat. These were the ways that he did things. Now, our text is one of those deep and meaningful lessons the Lord has left us. It talks about simple things that it seems like everybody would know. But the meaning of the things that he's conveying here in these verses reaches out into eternity. It deals with time and it deals with eternity. And it doesn't just deal with a man going to the doctor or not going to the doctor. It deals with eternal issues of the soul. And so I pray that God this morning will help us all, that the Holy Spirit will take this simple but deep message of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring it to each one of us personally and show us something about the kingdom of God, the work of God, our own souls and our own needs, and teach us today to appreciate what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in order to get this thing started in the right direction, I want to establish two realities out of Jesus' statements. And they're self-explanatory, but I want to kind of emphasize them so it'll focus each one of us on what Jesus was talking about. Plainly and simply, first of all, He teaches us here that well people don't need a doctor. And you might say, well, duh, Brother Myers. I don't think anybody could miss that. I know you couldn't if you're following along in Jesus' words, but I want to emphasize that He's teaching that well people don't need a doctor. And He's also teaching that righteous people don't need repentance. Now, lest somebody jumps to the conclusion here that no well person needs a doctor, or no person who thinks himself well needs a doctor, and no person who thinks himself righteous needs repentance. I'm talking about what we call subjective thinking here. And by subjective thinking, it means how the person sees it that you're talking about. So if we talk about a person who subjectively sees himself well, you can ask him and say, don't you think you need to go to the doctor? And he'll say, well, no, I'm perfectly well. That's subjective. He doesn't really know he's perfectly well. He feels perfectly well. All of the signs look right. And so he'll say, no, I don't need a doctor. I'm perfectly well. And you can talk to a person who thinks himself righteous, that he's done all the right moves before God, that he's a pretty good fella, and he's heading in a pretty good direction. You can say, don't you think that you need some spiritual help? Don't you think you need something to happen by which you can get out of your awful and sinful condition? And he'd say, well, no, I feel fine. I'm pretty right. I mean, if those people that go to church down there consider themselves to be right, I'm better than most of them. I'm pretty right. I think I'm in good shape. That's subjective consideration. That's a subjective thought. He's looking at it from how he feels about himself. That's what I want to establish, first of all. And second, I want to establish what, based on what the Lord Jesus said, that sick people want and need a doctor, and sinners want and need a Savior. And again, that really is subjective in a sense, but objective in another. That is to say, in a sense, nobody feels like they need a doctor until they first of all said, you know, things aren't right. I may be sick. I've got this stuff going on. I really feel bad. Something like that will cause them to say, I think I need a doctor. And when a person gets to the place to say, you know what, my soul isn't right. There's something wrong in me. There's something bad off kilter. There's something that's not right between me and the person, the individual, the entity that created me, namely God. And because there's something wrong between me and Him, I need some help. I need a Savior. You see the difference between the two? The well person says, I don't need a doctor. The self-righteous person says, I don't need a Savior. I'm not a sinner. But the sick person says, I believe I better make an appointment. And the sinner, or the person who's come to see himself as a sinner, says, there's something wrong. I need help. I need a Savior. I need something done for my soul to save me from the awfulness of this condition. There's the two points I want to make to you, brothers and sisters, before we go on. Now, as we look further at Jesus' statement, we have to say that wellness, as I've already suggested, wellness and sickness is relative to the human mind. It's relative to the human mind, and in the same way, righteousness and sinfulness is relative to the human mind. That is to say, as I've already been saying, if a person feels like they're well, then relatively speaking to their brain, they are. If a person feels like they're right, nothing's wrong with their spiritual self, in their brain, relatively speaking, they are righteous. And it's just like when we talk about relativity, we're talking about things like there's a relativity to how you see deep water and shallow water, and I see deep water and shallow water. Now, if I'm a diver, deep water to me is 20 feet or more. If you're afraid to swim, deep water to you is anything that gets up above this spot right here on your chin. See how relative it is? If you can't swim, you're in deep water when you get to here. But if I can swim and dive, and I dive 20 feet off a tall board, that's fairly deep water. I might like it to be 40. Relativity. It's like that with everything that we do. To you, a fast car may be one that can go 120 miles an hour. But to some of those racers down there in Florida, a fast car might be one that can cut 260. It's relativity. What's relative? What does it mean to you? That's the way it is with wellness and sickness. That's the way it is with righteousness and sinfulness. And that's the message that Jesus has given us in our text today. Now, wellness and sickness, and I'm building a case here, brothers and sisters, to help each one of us see that it may be the relative way that we look at our lives, at our spiritual condition, at where we are in relation to God. It may be a relativity, a relative thing, that keeps us back from realizing that we're in really deep water with our souls. That's where I want us to go. Now, let's look at this wellness versus sickness as a relative thing. And I want to show you what I'm talking about. I want to build a case that if we're not careful, our brains will tell us, oh, you're okay. When in fact, we're in great danger or jeopardy. Either with regard to physical condition, but especially I want to focus on the idea that we may think we're in good shape spiritually, but we may be in real jeopardy. Because if we can build that case and show you that that's exactly what the Lord Jesus is pointing at, maybe somebody here this morning will wake up and realize that they may think themselves on good ground when in fact the toenails on both their feet are hanging over the precipice that leads to hell. If we can get us all there, perhaps God will speak to somebody today about the need for a Savior. So what about this relativity concerning wellness and sickness? Let me show you how relative it can be. Some of you may not realize or recognize these names, but I want to shoot you a few names, and then they have a common thing amongst themselves. Does the name Hank Gathers or Sergei Gankov or Corey Stringer or Daryl Kyle Florence Griffith Joyner, or Reggie Lewis, or Pete Maravich, or Hank Gathers, or Lynn Bias. And I know I quoted Hank Gathers twice. Do they mean anything to you? Well, these are world-class athletes. And probably they don't mean anything to you because for all these people, over 8 years ago, they all died. In the last two decades, all of these people died. And they died from the same cause. You know it as young athlete sudden death syndrome. Now, these folks were out every day exercising. They were in top physical health. I mean, when you looked at them, you'd say, man, if there was a specimen of humanity there that had nothing wrong with him, that didn't need a doctor, that would be these people I just named to you. And yet every one of them going along in their daily routine of exercising and competing in races and competing in basketball and all kinds of sports, every one of them at a given hour, at a given moment, in the middle of their exertions, fell over dead. From athletes, young athletes, sudden death syndrome. Nobody could have ever told those young people that they were sick and needed a physician. Now let me just be bold enough to say something here. And I believe I'm right on this. Every human creature that ever hears the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and goes on in their lives without dealing with their soul condition, with their lost condition, with the condition that their spiritual self is in, are just like these young people who fell dead only in a spiritual sense. That is, they are about to be victims of the young person, old person, sudden death syndrome without knowing that they're sick at all. It's all relative. And every time I meet a person that's lost, that listens to me witness about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the cold shudders, the shudders of coldness fall down over their eyes and over their brain, and they are like this, I realize that they are thinking relatively about what their life is all about. That is what people do. And they are represented by, in a physical sense, by these people that I named. They had no idea that they were sick. They had no idea that death would come suddenly. They had no idea that they needed a physician. And yet the proof that they did is that they fell dead. Now, what do we have to say about that relative way of thinking? I mean, what does it mean to you or me or any other person that people hear the gospel of Christ, are brought face to face with the spiritual condition that they are in, and yet totally reject the warning that the Bible gives when a faithful witness tells them that they need the Lord Jesus Christ? What do we have to say about that? They're thinking relatively. They're thinking about their lives as though they could never die. They are thinking about their lives as though they didn't need anything. That they were perfectly fine. Everything was right with them and their soul. So wellness and sickness is relative. And as I said, so is righteousness and sinfulness. Now I want to show you the contrast between those who think righteously or think that they're righteous and those who recognize that they're not. Famous and classic portion of Scripture from the book of Luke chapter 18. Go over there with me just quickly and let's look at this. You Bible students know automatically about this portion of Scripture. But let's look at it again. Luke chapter 18. Verses 10 through 13. Most of you remember the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And Jesus says in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now listen at the relative attitude, the attitude by which the Pharisee thinks of himself, because it is relative. The man is as lost as a goose, and he thinks he's okay. Now, let me just say before I read this that there are folks in the world today that don't think like the Pharisee. They don't act like the Pharisee. They're not solid day by day, week by week churchgoers and doers of good and giving of tithe and all of that. And that's not specifically what I want to focus on this morning, because I don't want to leave anybody with the idea that this is the perfect profile of all people who think themselves self-righteous. Let me just say this right now. If you're here and lost, if you have not trusted Christ, and you've heard the gospel message of Christ's sacrifice for the sins of everyone who will believe in Him, you've heard that and are not repentant and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, you're self-righteous. That simple. So, let's get that clear as we look at this. They went up into the temple to pray, two men, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I want you to notice that the self-righteous individual never prays to God. Relatively speaking, he thinks he does. Did you know that? This Pharisee was sure that he was speaking to God. But when the Holy Writ comes out and tells the story about him, the Lord Jesus says he prayed to himself or with himself, not with God. And that's the way it is with the self-righteous. They pray and they think they have merit with God. They think they're talking to God. They're talking to themselves. Because they've made themselves God. And every creature on earth that rejects the gospel of Christ and is unrepentant in his soul, every one of them have made self to be God. There was a time when I lifted up self as God. When I was lost, myself was God. How do I know that's true? Because I put myself at the top of a priority list, and wherever, if God was in that priority list at all, He was down the list somewhere. That's idolatry. That's making self to be God. That's what this Pharisee was doing. He said, I thank Thee that I am not as other men. Boy, isn't that a sign of self-righteousness? I've heard that old story in different words for a long time. Not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possessed. There's his testimony. He says, everything's all right with me. I got everything in order. I've got some merit before God because I do this and this and this and this. That's the testimony of the self-righteous. Now, it may be less than that. People may say less about themselves than that. But regardless of how they do it, the human creature will lift up some kind of credit for himself when he comes to a conversation between him and God. He'll lift something up and say, see, I've got this to my credit, so I think I'm doing okay. That's so typical that people die and go to hell holding that up. That they have some credit with God. But now listen, here's the contrast. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's your case for an individual who in fact recognizes that there's something wrong, that he needs something he doesn't have. And thank God he recognized that day that it was mercy that he was in need of. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You ever get a human soul to that place right there, you've solved the self-righteous issue right then. Because that person has come to realize that they need something they can't get from anywhere but God, and that something is mercy upon their souls. So there's the contrast. Now, listen to two statements from Scripture itself about the contrast of righteousness versus sinfulness. Romans 3:23. Listen to this. Listen to this, because it's critical that every one of us learn this truth from the Word of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does that leave anybody out, brothers and sisters? Is there anybody in this room that can say, well, yeah, I know that. That means everybody in the world except me. I don't believe anybody can say that. Nobody can say, well, you know, I mean, yeah, they're all of sin and come short of the glory of God, but I hadn't done much here lately. I've been pretty good, so really I'm excluded from that. I don't think so, brothers and sisters. I don't think so. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now listen, in Proverbs 16:2, here's the contrast. Here's the contrast between what God says about human creatures and what men think about themselves. Human creatures think like this: all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Now, doesn't that pretty well summarize how the human creature without Christ thinks. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's the way the human creature thinks. So we find then that everything is relative about this righteousness and sinfulness. Now I want us to establish in our hearts today that if we have some idea that we're righteous in ourselves, we've gotten off on the wrong track. And we need to realize there's none righteous. No, not one. But the fact is, as a human being, you're going to think that all your ways are clean. So far, so good. So the sickest person in the world can't be convinced that he needs a doctor unless he comes face to face, acutely and personally aware of the severity of his sickness. Then he'll want a doctor. And in the like manner, the worst sinner in the world can't be convinced that he needs a Savior unless he becomes personally and acutely aware of his sinfulness. Let me speak just a moment to any here that have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here, here's my question. Have you become acutely aware of your sinful condition? Have you become aware at all of your sinful condition? Because if you haven't, you're like the young athlete sudden death syndrome victims. You're a walking dead person and don't know it. That's the truth. And that's an awful, terrible, jeopardized way to live. Now, we find then that the case of the self-righteous person is that they cloak themselves in the imagination, in their imagination, and their imagination tells them that they are okay with God. Nothing's wrong, and there's no threat to them. Now, Jesus was speaking to some self-righteous folks in John chapter 5, and He said something that fits everybody that thinks they're righteous enough to not need a Savior. Sinner, if you're lost, if you haven't trusted Christ today, let me tell you something. Here's a bit of a news flash. You need a Savior. Without Him, He'll judge you worthy of what you're doing, and you'll go to the lake of fire. There's two alternatives. Go to heaven to be with Jesus because He died for your sins and you believed it. Or go to hell and spend eternity in the flames because you rejected the message that God sent us about His Son. Those are the two alternatives. So Jesus said this in John chapter 5 and verse 40 to those who were self-righteous and thought they had everything okay. They didn't need Jesus. They didn't need a Savior. They were earning their way to heaven by following the Mosaic law. And Jesus said to them, "Ye will not come to me that you might have life." Ye will not come to me that you might have life. Does that sound like anybody we've ever met? It certainly does. And that's exactly the attitude of the self-righteous. They say, "I don't need a Savior because I haven't done that much and I'm okay in the eyes of God." That's saying, "I don't need a Savior. I don't need Jesus. I will not come to Jesus that I might have life. I'm looking and expecting to get life somewhere else." Won't happen. Not now. Not ever. He said something else to the same kind of people in John chapter 8 and verse 24 that hits home so powerfully that I hope everybody here can hear this awesome warning from Christ for those who imagine themselves to be okay with God but have never repented of their sins and trusted Christ. Listen to this. John 8:24. Ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Listen, there is one Savior and one Savior only. There is one way to the Savior and one way only. And if you don't go that route to that one Savior, ye shall die in your sins. And I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to know what the end product is of a person dying in their sins. The Bible's full of warnings about it. Probably most of us here have heard preachers preach about it. It's awful. I've already rehearsed it. You know what it is. So Jesus defines the condition of the self-righteous, and He also defines their fate. Last of all, Christ will never be a great physician to people who continue to imagine that they are well. He'll never be a great physician to people who imagine that they are spiritually well, and so He will never be a Savior to people who continue to imagine that they are righteous. If you go through this life imagining that you're spiritually well, that everything's all right with you, Christ will never be a Savior to you. And there is no opportunity yonder side of the grave to rectify this, my friend. Boy, the man that dies as he is. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. And so it is with humankind. When we die, that's the last. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, you can talk to Jesus and get a reprieve and go on into heaven anyway. Is that what it says? No. After that, the judgment. That's all. Only the judgment. Nothing else. And we'll each face that judgment. The people of God will face the judgment seat to give account of their own works. But the lost will face the white throne judgment to be judged according to their unbelief. And would be cast into the lake of fire. So Christ is never going to be the great physician, never going to be the Savior to people who continue to imagine that they're righteous. Now, the entire matter of how we respond to the Lord, this thing of repentance that the Lord's talking about in our text. The entire matter about this thing of repentance is all about thinking differently about whether you are a righteous person or a sinner. The pivot point, brothers and sisters and friends, about being saved, the pivot point is that place at which the sinner comes to the realization that he's a sinner, and he turns from himself and turns to God. That is repentance. When a person turns against himself and thinks again what he is, he stops thinking he's righteous and starts realizing he's a sinner. And when he does that, godly sorrow begins to work. And when godly sorrow begins to work itself in that soul says, I've been wrong. God's been right. I'm worthy of hell. Jesus Christ has all provided a way to escape it. I know what I'll do. I'll call on the Lord and say, be merciful to me, a sinner. When that happens, the self-righteous person has stopped being self-righteous. But you know, there's going to be a lot of people in eternity at the judgment that are going to present themselves before the Lord as though they were righteous. They're going to talk to the Lord apparently about how they were righteous. And the account that we have in the Bible about this really is an account about people who apparently did some good in the world. These people were not just renegade sinners rejecting everything about God and living profane lives. These people that Christ rejects were self-righteous people that imagined that they were doing good for the Lord. They were good for themselves because selves were Lord. They imagined they were doing good for the Lord, and they held that up as merit before the Lord at the judgment. Listen, listen. Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, calling Him Lord. Have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name have cast out devils. In Thy name done many wonderful works. But listen, like all other unbelievers, like all other self-righteous, regardless of the level of a person's self-righteousness, this is the thing that Christ will say to each and every one of them. Not just the person who was a hypocrite, who worked things in his own name and called it in God's name, who did good things on the earth, not just those, but to all, in all levels, the profane and the so-called righteous, upstanding citizens on earth, He'll say the same thing to every one of them. Listen to what He says. I will profess unto them, He says, I never knew you. Depart from me. That is the fate of the self-righteous. They that are well don't need a physician, but rather they that are sick do. Are you pretty well this morning? If you're really well spiritually, I'm going to tell you why. You've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The only way you can get well. And regardless of what you're telling yourself up here, if you haven't trusted Christ to save you from your sin, you're sick. You're spiritually sick. You're like the young athlete, sudden death syndrome victims just before they collapsed. You're saying, I'm in the perfect physical health. You're saying, I'm in the perfect spiritual health. They said, I can run 40 miles. You're saying, I can run through the rest of my life without any spiritual problems. This is everyone who's rejected Christ. Everyone who doesn't have Christ as his Savior, as his lawyer, is in this state. And if you're in that state, I can't recommend but one thing for you and to you. I recommend Jesus Christ, the great physician. He can heal you of the spiritual sickness that you have if you're in this audience this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the great physician. Let's stand. Let's sing an invitation number. Brother Ed, would you mind coming and picking a number and leading us in the song? I want you to be thinking about your condition. Not about what you've been thinking about your condition, but about what we've outlined about your condition. Do you think that you're spiritually healthy? And if you're thinking that, are you a believer in Christ? Because if you're not a believer in Christ, regardless of what your brain is telling you, you are spiritually sick and you need Jesus, the great physician. As we sang a number, what is it, brother? Age 235. We're going to sing one verse. We invite you to come. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Jesus, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, Do not pass me by. May the Lord bless you and make you aware of what your spiritual condition is today and deal with you as a human creature that is either one, spiritually well and on your road to heaven, or two, spiritually sick and lying to yourself.